wailing and gnashing of teeth always apply to the great tribulation, the 7 years. That is why the dragnet is before the tribulation years, before the 7 year, the last week of Daniel, which is the same period as Habakkuk predicts. Isn't it interesting that in Habakkuk 1, he should mention the illustration of the dragnet even before Jesus came? Look at how powerful the scriptures have been written by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus spoke a parable of the dragnet to confirm, so that with his parable in Matthew 13, verse 47 to 52, we could unveil the Old Testament, Habakkuk chapter 1. Because the Old Testament is the new conceal, and the New Testament is the old reveal. So that ties up the truth that we bring forth to you with all these scriptures to show the twofold eschatological revelations of Habakkuk 1. If Habakkuk 1 is pre-rapture, Habakkuk chapter 2 is the 7 year period, the last week of Daniel. Habakkuk chapter 2 covers the 7 year period of Daniel. The last week of which the rapture has already taken place, it becomes a Jewish dispensation. And in the Jewish dispensation, it talks and says the just must live by faith. Now we live by faith too, but they also, because you know why? The one horn will be allowed to prevail for some time. He will make war against the saints in the dispensation time. Who are the saints at that time? The Jewish saints, the 144,000 plus the two witnesses. And there will be a great slaughter. You think about the tribulation years. They are not really the kind of things that people will look forward to. But there is a blessing there in chapter 7. It says here, there were, Revelation chapter 7, there were 12,000 sealed from each tribe in Israel. And then verse 9, these things I look and behold a great multitude which no one could number, all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. And verse 13, one of the elders asked me, do you know who these are? Verse 14, he said, sir, you know. He says, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation. Now the word great tribulation is used to refer to the 7 year period. That's why it's called the great tribulation. Not just tribulation. Tribulation happens all the time, year round. But this is the great tribulation, the last week of Daniel. And the Antichrist will make a slaughter. And there will be those who are preserved by the power of God. And that is why in the great tribulation, because of the bloodshed that the Antichrist will also bring about, there will be judgment upon the earth. There will be war upon war and all kinds of things happening in the 7 years that we will read about in the book of Revelations. And you notice two things here in Habakkuk chapter 2. Number one is verse 14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now in a spiritual sense, that can take place in the church age. But in a literal eschatological sense, if your systematic approach to the book of Habakkuk, it refers to how the 144,000 and all the two witnesses and all that go about declaring the glory of the Lord. At the time the Antichrist, when the Antichrist rises for the first 3.5 years or the 7 years, the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth still because of the ministry of these 144,000 plus the two witnesses. And then at the close of their ministry, and during the tribulation years, verse 20 of Habakkuk 2, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Now I want you to know, heaven is very seldom silent. And some people are not used to rejoicing much in the Lord, but you know, give room for everybody. Sometimes we need to be still and know that He is God, and sometimes we need to rejoice. But this on earth, In heaven's silence is never done. And if you're a theologian and you read from Genesis or Revelation, the only time silence takes place is when judgment is about to happen. Look over in the book of Revelations. The only time, in chapter 8 verse 1, it says, Revelations 8 verse 1. 8 verse 1, it says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw seven angels, and each was given seven trumpets. And when each one of those trumpets were blown, verse 7, the first trumpet blown, the vegetation was struck. Verse 8, the second trumpet was blown, a great mountain came and was thrown into the sea, turning into blood. The third trumpet was blown in verse 10, there was a great star that fell from the earth, burning one third of the rivers and waters. Now, after the silence was the judgment. When heaven is silent, it's judgment time. It's so different from Isaiah chapter 6 when it says the Lord is in His holy temple and everyone was crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. But here is the different, the Lord is in His holy temple. This one is silence. It means judgment. That is why chapter 2 confirms to us that it is a tribulation years, the last week of Daniel. Now chapter 3 is when Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation years. Chapter 3 is all about Jesus, about God coming down. Verse 3, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from His hand. And then His power was hidden. Before Him went pestilence, and fever followed at His feet. He stood and measured the earth. Talks about the earth shaking. Verse 8, the anger of the Lord, the wrath of the Lord come. And so here comes the Lord. And He brings judgment on the earth. So Habakkuk is eschatologically divided for us. Chapter 1, pre-rapture. Chapter 2, the last week of Daniel, the 7 years of Daniel. Chapter 3, the second coming of Jesus to the earth. Clearly divided. The eschatological interpretation of Habakkuk. So we have given you, just as we have done with all the prophetic books, we've given you the historical interpretation. We've given you the eschatological interpretation. And it's a powerful book that talks about the coming of the Lord. You want details of what Jesus' second coming to the earth is like? You read more Habakkuk chapter 3. The eschatological book. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise You and we thank You. Your mercy continue to abound upon our lives as we consider the times we live in, O God. And Father, as we hear Your word, as we learn Your word, we know, O Lord, this word is also for us, that the just shall live by faith. For us, it's our little experience and our little stories, not the grand story of the climax of the earth, Lord. But yet, Lord, the same principles apply, Lord. That the just shall live by faith, good triumphs over evil, hold fast to that vision, and there's a purpose behind evil and trials that we don't understand. So we ask, O God, that You give encouragement to each one here, Lord. Whichever place, whichever position, whichever situation that each one of them goes through, Lord. Whatever the trials, Lord, whatever they face, we pray, O Father God, that they would be able to understand that though the fig tree does not blossom yet, and though there be no fruit on the vine, and the fields yield no meat, yet we will rejoice in You. Yet we will rejoice because we know the end. We worship You, O God, and we know that You triumph. And You will triumph in our life. You will triumph in the final conclusion of the planet Earth. And you will triumph, O God, in the church age, in the Jewish dispensation. And you will triumph, Lord, in the story of our individual lives. Because we love you. And you will triumph, O Lord, in the story of every one of the works of our hands. O God, we pray that there be not a single one here, or those who are listening to your word here, they will ever give up. They will ever give up. But may they hold on, may they have more energy, may they run with the vision, Lord. May they be encouraged, Lord, not to let down their guards. May they be encouraged, O Lord, not to let down their swords or their shield. May they be encouraged, O God, to press on the upward way. To press on, Lord, to higher ground, to the good things that are still ahead of them. Even though they could hardly see through the tunnel, but yet, Lord, we know that your hand is upon their hand, and you're the good shepherd who holds them by the right hand. We ask, O God, for that spirit of encouragement to come upon each one of your saints, that they will go forth, O Lord, and do a mighty work. They will go forth, O Lord, and bring peace, and bring love, and bring joy, and bring encouragement to all those around, to their friends, to their loved ones, to society. O God, that each one of them may be a blessing, O God, to society. A blessing, O Lord, to their nation. A blessing, Lord, wherever they go. A blessing to their companies, O Lord. A blessing, O God, to people. We ask, O God, that the spirit of encouragement come. We pray for those who are at a point where they are about to give up. Whether it be to give up their marriage, whether it be to give up a job that they are supposed to continue on, whether it be to give up a business that they are going through hard times, whether it be to give up whatever, Lord. Oh God, you know the struggles of each one of our hearts. You understand the stories of our life. And God, we know your word is don't give up. Because you're not true with us yet, Lord. And we pray for those who are in the ministry that they don't give up the ministry. We pray for those who are training for the ministry that they don't give up their training. We pray, O God, whatever area, whatever vocation or call you have in each one, whether in the business or in the ministry, Lord, that they will never give up. That they keep pressing on into higher ground, Lord. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise together. Thank you, Jesus.